week we started a new series here, and if you missed last week's series, I was able to download it to the website, and so you can listen to it online on your computer. And we talked about the mystery of unanswered prayer. And we looked last week about the two reasons why our prayer are unanswered, at least last week we said, and it all came down to the fact that sometimes our prayers are just... Why is it not going? Wake up. Okay, let's start this over again. Okay. Sometimes it comes down to our prayers are just too small. That God is our Heavenly Father is such a big God. He wants to give us big gifts. And we just pray for too little or too small. Our loving Father wants to give us so much more than we pray. He wants to lavish His love upon us instead of giving us just a piecemeal and pieces of our prayers. So He's prayed for Him. And so in that sense, we treat God as too small. Well, maybe God can't handle my big problems. We also use our limited perspective to overcome the exceeding abundance that God has for us. We also saw that our prayers are sometimes too small that they go unasked to begin with. Our prayers are just so small that they are not even asked. Maybe we assume because God was going to answer them, or He will answer them even though we haven't asked for them. Or we try to do things on our own without asking God in prayer. And I forgot last week, I was going to add this into my sermon last week about how our prayers go unanswered and why. It's a quote that I had that I remember the president of the seminary that I went to made kind of a little sermon over, and he had this quote. He says, what if there were some things that God cannot or will not do until or unless people pray? He didn't say that this is necessarily the case, but what if there are some things God cannot do or will not do until or unless we pray? And he made a whole sermon on this and taught it to us in chapel. And it got us students thinking, you know, there might be some things. There might be, you know, God can do everything, but there might be some possibilities out there that God cannot do something unless I ask Him to. As I thought about that some more, I thought about even a story that we have in the Old Testament of Moses, where he raises his hands with the battle of the Amalekites, when Joshua's fighting the mountain below, and when his hands are raised in prayer, we're assuming, they win. But when his hands are not raised, they don't win. And so they said Aaron and Hur helped Moses raise his hands. God couldn't win the battle. Couldn't let Joshua win the battle without prayer. Moses' hands lifted in air. So I think that's kind of maybe a little example of something that God cannot or would not do unless Moses had his hands raised. So that's something to think about. But that still doesn't answer all of our prayers, all of the mystery of unanswered prayers. Why do we do things, why do we have other prayers that are unanswered? And someone came up to me last week as well and says, well, why do we have to ask God for all these things? Why don't we just give them to Him? Why do we have to jump through all these hoops? And I wanted to kind of tell him, well, I just gave you a couple this morning. There's more reasons for unanswered prayer. More reasons. This is only week one in the series that I have of this message. Having small prayers is only one reason why the Bible gives for unanswered prayer. And as I told you last week, there are many reasons for unanswered prayer, many reasons why we don't get what we ask Him for. Because you could pray all the big prayers to a loving Heavenly Father that you wanted and still find your prayers not answered. It's also a good thing that there's not just one phrase in the Lord's Prayer, because that's, again, what we're going to look at this morning. Because I think the Lord's Prayer, again, gives us insight onto the mystery of unanswered prayer. And so we're going to, again, repeat the Lord's Prayer to us together this morning and look at the phrases there in our Lord's Prayer to see other reasons why prayer goes unanswered. So say this together with me. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now last week we looked at the first phrase in that, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. This week we're going to look at the second passage there, or second, I don't know if it's a second verse or just a second phrase there. It's your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, sometimes when we pray, our prayers are just too, not just too small, but also too self-centered. And that's my title this morning. Your prayer is too self-centered, too focused on ourselves. And I see this in two different ways that our prayers can be too self-centered. First of all, our prayers are too self-centered because we pray for the wrong things. Too often we pray for things that are for our kingdom. What's my next slide? For our kingdom. You ever wonder why God doesn't answer prayers like, Lord, the Bears are playing on football on Sunday. Can you let them win? You know why God doesn't answer that prayer? He's not a Bears fan. He's not a Cubs fan or a Cardinals fan or any other sport fan. It's not part of his kingdom. He's not a Republican or a Democrat. He's not a whatever. So when you cheer for a team or cheer for a party or cheer for something, and we ask God, let them win, God's probably not going to answer that prayer. Now, if the team wins, they win. But that's not because God answered the prayer or not, because it doesn't impact his kingdom. I was reading a book this last week, a very good book. I just found it. And it's by John MacArthur. It's called Alone with God. And if you get a chance to read this book, it's tremendous. I was just like I said, got a hold of it this last week and was starting to pray through. And I said, oh, I wish I would have said that last week. I included that in my sermon last week with that. But he said something about prayer, about praying God's kingdom. He said about this. He said, to pray God's kingdom, I don't think I got this on slide. To pray for God's kingdom is to pray for God's program to be fulfilled. For Christ to come and reign. When you sincerely believe and genuinely confess Christ as Lord, you are confirming that the direction of your life is aimed at his exaltation. You or your own causes are valid insofar as they agree with the eternal causes of God revealed in Christ. When we pray, Thy kingdom come, I'm saying to God, Holy Spirit, Spirit of Christ within me, take control and do whatever you will for your glory. So does that mean we don't pray for things of ourselves, pray for things of our own concern? No. Because God's glory can be seen in our blessings, in the way he blesses us. Psalm 9 or 69 says it very plainly. Look at this. It says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways might be known on the earth, your salvation among the nations, blessing us in order for it to be seen, for God's glory to be seen on the nations. May your people praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us. And what's the result? All the earth will fear him. You see, notice how God's answering and blessing us with the requests that we give to him affects the people around us, affects the world around us. So praying for ourselves is okay. I'm not saying that we are too self-centered just by praying for our own personal agenda. But that's not all our prayer should be. And we also need to keep in mind what Jesus will say later on in the 6th chapter of Matthew, right after the Lord's Prayer. He says, but seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things that you ask for, things to eat and drink, and all these other things that you want to wear, they'll be given to you as well. That's the difference. Because sometimes we pray for things for us, but we don't pray with God's kingdom in mind. And so we need to start with that first. Praying things for God's kingdom and not for our own kingdom to be built up. And sometimes we pray for things that are good for us, but if you look around, they're not good for others. A good example that was given to me this last week was something I pray often when I'm traveling. God, give me good traveling weather. No, I don't like driving in rain. But then I think, well, you know, if I'm driving somewhere and the people around me need rain, should God answer my prayer or their prayer? You know? So sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers because we're not looking around us at others. Or we pray for God to heal us from some physical ailment when God knows that our sickness will bless others, like the doctors and nurses that treat us. It will touch another person's life. Or we pray that we will not experience some sort of pain or suffering in our lives when we find out later on we can become a help to other people because of the pain and suffering that we've gone through in our lives. Another tremendous passage of Scripture is 2 Corinthians 1. It says, praise to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comforts. Why? Who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the same comfort that we ourselves were comforted and received from God. You know? God gives us the comfort in our suffering so we can comfort others when they're going through the same thing. I remember when I found out I had cancer and had to go through the treatment of cancer 5 or 6 years ago. And I thought, why a young man like me has to have cancer? As I started going through it, I thought, well, now I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like to go through chemo. I know what it feels like to have cancer. And so now when I hear other people who have cancer, I can say, I know where you've been. I've been there too. And so when I asked God before that, God, keep me healthy. He said, no, I'm going to give you a little cancer. So that way you can be comfort other those that have cancer. Again, we are praying for things that seem good health or not pain and suffering in our lives, but we don't have other people in our minds. It's just too self-centered. And finally, we pray for things that are not just self-centered, but things that are simply wrong. We pray for not for our kingdom. We pray for the good of not. Ooh, excuse me. We pray for the good of others, not our for our good, not others. And then we pray for simply sinful things, and that's sometimes the case. And I'm going to touch on this in a few weeks when we talk about temptation. Lead us not to temptation. That phrase, because sometimes things we pray for will lead us into temptation. And so I'm just going to touch on that this morning. But praying for something that is sinful definitely does go against your kingdom come. That prayer that we're looking at this morning. So whose kingdom are you focusing on when you pray? Again, John MacArthur says this, the kingdom must be at the heart. The kingdom of God must be at the heart of our prayers. Before we go bursting into his presence with all of our petitions, we need to stop long enough to consider his cause and his kingdom. We must affirm our yearning that it is he who to be glorified in his purposes. Is that what we're praying for when we pray in our prayers? For God's glory, for his kingdom? Is that what we're praying for? Not for just our good, but also for the goods of others? Is what we're praying for even good at all? So we pray simply for the wrong things in our self-centered prayers, but we also pray for the wrong reasons. not only pray too self-centered by praying the wrong things, we pray for the wrong reasons, the wrong will. Because the second part of that phrase is, your will be done. You see, the Lord's Prayer does not say, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. My kingdom come, my will be done. No. I wish it would say that sometimes. Because sometimes I want my way. That's sometimes how we pray. We pray, I want my will be done, not your will be done. Like we saw in week one, we are to come to God as a child, as a father, as a child, to a loving father. But God doesn't want us to come as a selfish, self-centered brat. Me, me, me. Mine, mine, mine. Or give me, give me. That's what selfish, self-centered brats do. No. God wants to come to us as just loving children, waiting for his blessings. And sometimes we come to God, you know, God, I want the things I want now, when I want it. No, but we are to pray God's will be done, which not only includes the request, but God's perfect timing as well. You know, sometimes we say, I want your will be done, Lord, but I want it done right now. Isn't that right? So we pray for the wrong reasons. We pray for our own reasons, our own feelings, our own desires. But that's not what we find when we look at Jesus in the Bible. Because Jesus is a great example of how he, throughout his ministry, followed God's will. There are several of them here this morning. I'm just going to list the verses here. And you can look them up later on, but I'm going to read some of them here this morning. John 6:38 says, For I've come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. John 5:17, My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. John 5:19, To tell the truth, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. John 5:30b, Jesus says, For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. John 7:28, I am not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. John 8, I can go on and on, it says it. Jesus said, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one who I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who has sent me is pleased with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. You see, and this is just going through the book of John here. It's also elsewhere in the other Gospels. And I had to stop there because I just didn't want my sermon to become too long. Jesus, throughout his ministry, said, I'm not here because of me. I'm here because of God. Because of he who sent me, I do his will. I don't do my own will. And of course, we also see it in his last days when he's in the garden. Matthew 26, we celebrated his last Easter, says, Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. He said to them, Sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away from me unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he found them again sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the same thing a third time. Prayed a third time saying the same thing. You see, here Jesus is submitting ultimately to the final will of God. Personally, he probably did not want to suffer and die. That's why he said, may this cup be taken from me. If that's possible, Lord, I don't want to do this. If that's somehow, if I misunderstood your will somehow. But despite what he wanted, once again, just he had done multiple times before in his life, said, this is God's will, and I'm going to do it, no matter what it means for me. And he submitted his will to do God's will. And that was awful hard for him, I'm sure. And if we are to follow in God's steps, in Jesus' steps, we too need to make sure that our prayers line up with God's will. Is it all about me? Or is it about God? So, when you think about your prayers, how self-centered are they really? Are they being prayed for the right things? Things for God's kingdom? Things that really matter? Last week we talked about treasure in heaven. The ultimate treasure is lives touched by us. Things that point to Him. That His kingdom here on earth might come. Not just in heaven. Because we can see God's kingdom even here on earth when we see hearts and lives changed for the Lord. So are we praying for the right things? Things that don't matter to God shouldn't really matter in our lives as well. And are the things we're praying for being prayed in the right reasons? Are they based on God's will? Or are they based on what we want done? You see, the only way we can truly get our prayers answered as if they're prayed according to God's will. It can only happen when we become God will minded. And then not only when we know what God's will is, but then do so cheerfully and joyfully and gladly. Not just, well, okay, this is your will, Lord. I guess I'll put up with it. I guess I'll suffer through it. No. God wants us to do willfully and joyfully with all of our heart, soul, and strength. Give everything to Him in our prayers. And by praying this, we can answer some of the mystery of unanswered prayers. It can be removed. 1 John 5 says this, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us whenever we ask. And we know that we have what we have asked of Him. You see, God wants to answer our prayers. But only if the prayers are for His glory, for His kingdom. And as I look through the multiple reasons for unanswered prayer, I think this one, personally, for me, is the toughest. Because sometimes I like praying my will. To be honest with you, sometimes I don't like following God's will. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it leads me in places where I would rather not go. Sometimes it has me touching people that I would rather not be a part of. I find myself often coming to God with my demands, with my will, with what I want and when I want it. And God has taught me over these last 15 or so years, hey, I got something in mind for you, Tim. It's my will. And even though you might want to be a pastor, I'm going to hold off on that for a while. I said, Lord, this can't be your will that I not be a pastor. You called me to be a pastor. He said, yeah. But it's going to be my glory that honors me, not for you to be glorified. Because He knows that if I submit my will to His, He will receive the honor. He'll receive the glory. He'll receive the kingdom to come. But I have to continue to remind myself to say the words that Jesus said, may your will be done. May your will, Father, be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when I think about all that Jesus gave up, his will, I think what small little task will that I have can give up to God as well. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes the toughest prayer that we pray is your will be done. Lord, sometimes I am so stubborn and so willful to get my own way that I can't see the world around me. I can't see how you are at work. I can't see how your glory is going to result in how my life is arranged. And so this morning I pray, not only for those here, but for myself especially, that you'd help us all to not only just know your will and guide us into your will, but that you would allow us to submit our stubbornness, our self-centeredness, our selfishness to you and to your will. Because we know in the end, ultimately, it will lead to the more happiness and more joy than we could ever experience, not only here on earth, but as we sang this morning, in heaven. And we know heaven is waiting for us these days. And we just pray that you'd allow all of our prayers to be for the glory of heaven. That we might see even a bit of that here on earth as we pray the Lord's Prayer this morning again. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to close this morning with, "Oh, how I love Jesus." There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. Thy smiles like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh,